bam 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 bam
Welcome back, everybody, to Go Help Yourself, a comedy self-help podcast to make life suck less. I am Lisa Linke, and sitting across from me is Mr. Stena.
Mr.
And we, together, are your co-hosts of this podcast, which is an exploration, a journey, a seeking, a yearning, a finding, a discovering of all things self-help. We often read and review popular self-help books. We try some cool new things like that's new in the world.
Boy, do we.
We learn about it. We also do some things like trivia, and we have guest authors on, and we just have a real good time. I'm not going to lie to you.
It's so fun, and I need you all to know that Lisa's little run just now, like yearning, exploring, discovering, growing, that was all off the noggin.
How dare you make it sound like I didn't plan that?
Okay.
What you're listening to now is an episode where Misty is bringing a topic and we're going to discuss it. And it's not so much a je provoque, which sometimes we have, which are thought-provoking questions.
That's right.
But it's just, this one is a follow-up. This is a rare event. We rarely follow up.
Yeah, the last time that we did a follow-up episode was after we reviewed the book, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up by Marie Kondo.
We also did one after Girl, Wash Your Face.
Oh, we did.
But listen, that was years ago.
Yeah, this was all like, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, I think, was in our first five books.
Yeah.
Definitely first 10, maybe first five. But people felt really, really surprisingly strongly.
And there was also some cultural backlash to it that we became aware of.
100%. Yeah. And to your point, like, you know, if you grew up in World War II, you have a different approach to.
I also remember another follow up about Stassi Schroeder's book.
Hilarious. Okay. So Lisa's made liars out of us. Well, it's rare. So
yeah.
It's rare. And I will highlight how it's rare in the fact that this is a follow up to episode 268.
Yes.
So we've had like five follow up episodes out of almost 300.
Yeah, I love your roundup there.
I've been rounding up for months.
Almost 1,000 episodes.
The second we hit 250, I was like, it's almost 300.
Yeah,
it's
we're almost at 1,000 episodes.
Almost 300. So, okay, let's dive in, because today I am bringing us a follow-up to a recent episode titled The Surprisingly Common and Tense Social Situation No One is Talking About and What to Do About It.
Yeah.
So again, it's number 268. It's just a few back in your podcast feed if you want to listen. But I am doing a follow-up for two reasons. Mm-hmm. The first is that in that episode, I shared a personal experience that I had at a group dinner that left me feeling particularly bad after the check splitting at the end of the night. And the reason I shared my own personal experience on air was in an attempt to open a larger conversation around all of the different dynamics at play when any of us is in a group dinner situation. And spoiler alert, those dynamics include things like cultural beliefs, socioeconomic issues, emotional intelligence, and a number of other intricately woven things.
It's a nightmare to exist with people.
It is. And it's so interesting because it's one of those things where you're like, it's just the check after dinner.
Mm-hmm.
No big deal.
Yeah. No.
And then when you put it into context, it goes like, oh my God, it gets fraught really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So you and I wanted to have that discussion on an episode because people all over the world experience different versions of this scenario every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's often stressful for one or more people going out in groups.
Yeah.
And we're a social species as humans. And we thought that this could be a helpful conversation to have that might help our listeners navigate some of those situations with more ease.
Yeah. And just to really put a point on the fact that it isn't one conversation. This is like an ongoing, evolving experience for people. And if you are going out to dinner before you're all 21, you know, the addition of alcohol in the check is not an issue.
Yeah.
Right. And then when you start, it's just, you know, as you get through life stages, it changes.
Yeah, exactly. And The thing about that episode is that in reflection, I feel that I could have done a better job of including different scenarios where tense moments splitting the check might come up, not just my own recent personal one, and that I could have researched solutions from experts instead of just discussing just amongst us live.
Yeah, listen, you know how I feel, which is you're great. I love you. It was a meaty discussion. It generated a lot of conversation on our social media. And you weren't alone. You're not alone.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And also, you know, the point of the podcast is always to be of service to a larger...
Not for me. It's just bits.
It's so for Lisa, it's bits.
That is and my for me, love you know, language.
Yeah, yeah. But if I am ever discussing a personal scenario, it's meant to be in service of a greater discussion, opening, education, that kind of a thing. I have great therapists and I can work out my own stuff privately with them.
I'm glad we're doing the follow-up, but I also just want to point out what a great job you did of being open with the experience that you had and the shame that it brought up and how confusing it was. You're not alone in that.
I appreciate that. And, you know, the other medicine in this and covering any topic that is controversial or uncomfortable or brings up multiple things is just letting go of perfectionism. There's not like a perfect, I'm not a perfect human. No one's a perfect human. Like, it's okay to just do our best and come back later and say, hey, here's more. Here's more of me trying my best. So the second reason that I wanted to do a follow-up on this is because, like those episodes we mentioned before, and specifically the Marie Kondo Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up episode, people felt very strongly about the issue of splitting the check. And while the example that I used in our recent episode was about splitting the alcohol portion of the bill at a group dinner when some members of the group didn't drink, we have since had listeners write in about several other scenarios. So one told us about how she always gets the short end of the stick when splitting group dinners because she's vegan. And that means that she often can't eat the majority of the appetizers that someone orders for the table, but expects her to split evenly at the end of the meal. And plus, meat entrees tend to cost more than veggie-based entrees. And this is something that happens to her all the time. Another listener told us that splitting the check was so consistently stressful that she straight up does not go to group dinners anymore, period. And this is a smart, funny, successful...
It doesn't even matter.
Like, no, but gets along with everybody, you know, kind of a person.
Yeah.
Even another said that the group dynamics of splitting the check at one of her birthday parties in her 20s was so stressful that she has never had a birthday meal at a restaurant since in a group, and she's now in her mid-30s. So this is a real issue, and it's affecting our social lives, our friendships, and our stress levels. Hence, the follow-up. And for what it's worth, I've been in uncomfortable slash unfair check-splitting situations often in my life as a person who doesn't drink very much, and as well as a person who grew up pretty humbly and had to support myself financially from a young age, so had to be budget conscious. It wasn't just the dinner scenario that I referenced in our episode. It's just that that was a particularly fresh and harsh experience in that moment.
And I'm from the Midwest, where it is rude if you don't split a check.
That's right.
Well, so
we are about to dive into all of this. So I think it's time that we had a roadmap from professionals who can help all of us navigate this situation.
Guy Fieri.
It is. It's Guy.
It's the mayor. Flavortown mayor.
The mayor of Flavortown. There's an amazing reductress satirical headline that says, "Tyrant." It's a picture of Guy Fieri. It says, "Tyrant, this man elected himself mayor of Flavortown without ever holding a fair election."
Oh my God. If you guys don't have the Reductus calendar, just know that that's Misty's gift to me every year, and it brings us joy every day.
Every single day. So I am bringing you the article, "How to Split the Bill at a Restaurant, No Matter How Complicated," by Lee Goldstein. And this was written recently on August 25th of 2023.
Okay.
So in the last 7 or 8 months.
Right.
And this is from Bon Appetit. And this will all be linked in show notes below. So You're out to dinner with a group of friends and the night's winding down.
Yes.
The banter is electric. Yeah. The drinks are flowing and the vibes are downright jovial.
I'm jovial.
Then the check comes and so commences the perennially sticky song and dance of splitting the bill.
Yeah.
One person tepidly reminds the group that they weren't drinking. Another taps the mic to emphasize that they only ordered the Caesar salad while their neighbor to the right opted for the filet mignon. Every possible solution leaves at least one person feeling scorned and overcharged.
Yes.
It doesn't help that dining out is pricier than pretty much ever right
now.
And let's be real, nobody wants to pay more than they owe. A recent TikTok chronicling a full-on verbal brawl over a group's $4,600 dinner check renewed debates surrounding the right way to split the bill.
That was so bad. I couldn't even say, geez, Louise. I just said, Louise. That one really shocked me. $4,600 check?
Yeah.
What, did they break the restaurant? That's what I always say when the bill comes. I go, what, did we break a window?
We had a food fight, but it happened to be caviar. I don't know what to tell you.
Louise!
That's going to be a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, a recent TikTok chronicling a full-on verbal brawl over a group's $4,600 dinner check renewed debates surrounding the right way to split the bill. That is, if there is a right way at all.
Yeah.
That particular video may or may not have been staged, and then it says in parentheses, it was probably staged,
yeah.
But it raised an all-too-common conundrum, awkwardly nickel and diming the check at the end of the night. Apps like Splitwise and Venmo, and more recently, QR code ordering that allows each diner to pay for only what they got, have significantly streamlined the process of splitting the bill. But doing the math is only one element of the equation. The harder part is often figuring out who owes what in a variety of head-scratchy scenarios.
Yeah.
The truth is, speaking up to request a separate check or asking to pay less can feel awkward. But with some etiquette, ground rules, dinner table brawls, and most excessive spending are avoidable. In any scenario, be courteous to your waiter, who probably doesn't want to juggle 6 credit cards and 3 separate checks, by gauging their preference on how to split a bill before you order.
Mm-hmm.
So, here's how to split the bill when only one person is drinking. If only one person at your table is drinking, they should offer to cover the cost of their drinks, either by requesting a separate check at the start of the meal, or if one diner in the group is putting their card down, by offering to pay more to cover their share.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, often alcoholic beverages are more costly than the food, says Mika Meyer, founder of Beaumont Etiquette, which offers courses on dining protocol and other social etiquette. So if only one person is drinking, it would be kind for that person to offer to pay more. Sean Jung, assistant professor at Boston University School of Hospitality, also suggests that the one person who's drinking could open a separate tab at the bar if that's the kind of place, which, side note, as someone who waited tables for a long time, it sucks when you're the waiter and you're missing out on those alcohol sales and that
100%.
Tip. But you can also negotiate that. So in any case, it would be a common courtesy for the person who is buying drinks to say that they will be paying on a separate check, he says. Whether by opening a separate tab or just covering the tip at the end of the meal, make a concerted effort to cover your costs and don't expect others who aren't drinking to split the bill evenly.
Yeah.
In short, pay for your drinks. So here's how to split the bill if only one person isn't drinking.
Mm.
If you're not drinking and everybody else is, it's more than reasonable for you to speak up and ask for a separate bill or otherwise expect to contribute less to the final cost of the meal.
Mm.
Yes, this can be uncomfortable to propose, but you're very much justified in doing so. In an ideal world, the rest of the group will proactively suggest that the person who isn't drinking pay less.
Mm-hmm.
Be conscientious of any non-drinkers at the table. If you notice that 2 people aren't drinking while 8 are, recognize that they might find it daunting to advocate for themselves and speak up on their behalf.
Yeah.
Bon Appetit Executive Director Sonia Chopra has another solution to an imbalance of drinkers and non-drinkers at the table. Have them ring up the food costs on one bill and all the drinks on another so you can split the meal evenly between everyone and the drinks evenly between everyone who is drinking. Mic drop.
Mm-hmm.
The article said mic drop.
Oh, nice.
Here's how to split the bill when one person's meal is significantly more expensive than others. If you ordered an expensive entree while
everyone... Surf and turf, baby.
That's right. God, what a luxury it must be to be like, oh, the steak and the shrimp.
Lobster, baby. Shrimp.
Oh, listen. You heard me when I said help at the beginnings, right?
Yeah.
If you ordered an expensive entree while everyone else ordered just an appetizer, you should offer to pay for it. It's the job of that person to offer to pay more, Meyer says. Mm-hmm. The table may not take the person up on that offer, but the person eating the lobster when everyone else had chicken should offer out of respect. Mm-hmm. She adds that if one person is treating, it may be in poor taste to knowingly order something pricey and expect them to cover for you.
That's really smart. Also, do you know why you don't do that when you order lobster?
Why?
It's shellfish.
I cannot. I cannot. It was perfect. It's like a work of art. Or as, I'm sorry, as Gen Z would say, that was gas.
Oh.
Do I sound like an absolute idiot saying that?
No, you sound like you got rizzed.
Oh my God.
No cap.
Not me doing Gen Z slang.
Okay.
If we have, if any Gen Z listeners are left on the podcast,
please don't hate us.
Please bear with us. Oh my God. Okay. How to split the check if it's a birthday dinner.
Okay.
If you, as the birthday celebrator, invited out a group of friends, you should expect to cover the bill. Which this article says, and I was very surprised by that.
Because it's the person who invited someone.
Yeah, but if you're saying like, hey, it's my birthday and I would love to have this group of friends out for dinner. I don't know. I kind of disagree with that.
That is not to be all proper etiquette, but the person who extends the invitation, unless it's agreed upon, you wouldn't have gone if I wouldn't have invited you, right?
Interesting.
What I would say is have my friend, I'd love to go out to dinner, but I can't afford to pay for everybody. Then my friend will say, I'll organize it. Hey guys, we're taking Lisa out for dinner.
Oh, interesting.
And that way they know, oh, I'm supposed to cover hers as well. Look at the restaurant, look at my whatever. I can't, have fun. I wish I could be there.
Interesting. Yeah, mm-hmm. That one for me, I was like, it should be okay for people of all economic levels to say, meet me at this restaurant. Like I want to go out with friends for my birthday. Like it's almost like if you can't afford it, are you being punished? Because that's etiquette.
Oh, I think, well,
like if I'm in college and I am self-sustaining, which I was, and I want to have a birthday dinner at, it's Florida, so I'll just say a Chili's, right? Listen, their queso's delicious.
Well, here's the thing. I'll say, as the invitee, you're kind of punishing me by expecting me to pay for something you invited me to.
That's why I was confused about the rule because, and we won't stick on this too long. We'll get back to the article, but you can always say, nope, I'm not going to go to your dinner. I'm on a budget, right? Mm-hmm. So you're not being punished. But yeah, if it's unclear.
Well, just in the way that you felt you were being punished by the expectation of you covering a bill for someone you invite, I think you could make the argument that the other person feels punished for having you expect to pay for your dinner when you invite them.
Well, this will come up in just a few minutes, but like,
and I'm ready.
This whole idea of like, just pay for what you ate. Mm-hmm. Everyone's responsible for themselves. Just pay for what you ate. Mm-hmm. We'll come up, and it's a more modern take on this stuff. So interesting. Okay. So if you, as the birthday celebrator, according to this article, invited out a group of friends, you should expect to cover the bill. If I invite everyone to a party at a restaurant and I want everybody to enjoy themselves, I'm going to pay, says etiquette expert Diane Gottsman, owner of the Protocol School of Texas. Mm-hmm. The group, quote, may insist that they pay and that's fine. Mm-hmm. Everybody can split it, she says, but the intention should be that you're going to pay. Mm-hmm. However, if a group invited you out to celebrate your birthday, you should expect that they'll cover your cut of the check. So that's... What you were just saying. Mm-hmm. Typically, the group chips in for the birthday guest and they divide the bill equally as a birthday gift to the person, Meyer says. Mm-hmm. So here's what to do if someone spontaneously orders a round of drinks for the table without consulting the rest of the group.
Boop.
Beep, bop, no. You order the drinks, you pay for them,
that's right.
Jung says. I think that would be an obvious expectation from other people as well, he adds. Nobody wants to shell out for a drink they never asked for in the first place.
Right.
Ordering around is a fun and friendly gesture so long as you actually follow through and cover it for the group. Otherwise, it's kind of annoying, question mark?
When my best friend from college, Trisha, and I traveled with our moms to Paris, we went to the Moulin Rouge. And Trisha and I were old enough to know better, but we kept ordering bottles of pink champagne for our table, which included us, our moms, my friend Ben, who just happened to be in Paris that time, and this other lovely couple. And we were like, pink champagne, have. And then the other night we were like, that was dumb. But we were happy to do it. It was a once in a lifetime.
Oh, and you covered it.
Oh, yeah. But we knew we were going to, but it was just so fun in that moment.
Well, and that's the thing. If you are like happily giving from your heart, it does, you know, yeah, and you have the resources to do it, what a lovely gesture.
Also, our moms were like, we're not covering that. And we were like, we didn't ask you to.
Yeah, that's, yeah, yeah. And good for them and yeah, good for you.
Exactly.
And I just want to point out also, because this is how I roll, I would be remiss if I didn't point out that a lot of the conversation, at least in California and with a lot of people I know in New York, is moving towards sober curious, mm-hmm, or we're talking a lot more about addiction these, mm-hmm, days. And just know that just because you think it would be amazing to buy a round of shots or, mm-hmm, drinks for people without consulting them, mm-hmm, it can actually create a really uncomfortable situation that you don't even realize you're doing,
right,
by putting someone who's in recovery in a really difficult situation where maybe they don't want to say they're in recovery, right, but they can't have that drink and it's tempting and it's, right, just confusing. So I'm not an etiquette expert, but if you have the impulse, which is a really sweet celebratory impulse, mm-hmm, to buy a group a round of drinks, you don't have to surprise them. You can say, you know what? I want to buy a round. Who wants a margarita?
Or,
and let them put
say,
in up their hands.
Hey, I'm buying a round to the waiter. Ask them what they want.
Perfect.
And let everybody order their own individual.
See, I love that. I love that.
Because I'll be having a soda with water. Nope. Oh, soda with lime. Soda
hot.
Water with lime.
Hot.
I'm very cool.
Louise. So here's what to do when everyone is splitting dishes, but one person has limiting dietary restrictions and can't,
yes,
eat everything.
Okay.
I love this article.
This is,
I mean,
great.
This is great. Okay. If you know off the bat that you won't be able to eat many of the dishes on the menu, mm-hmm, your safest bet is to request a separate check at the start of the meal,
yep,
says Gottsman.
Yep.
Meyer agrees. It's the role of the person with the dietary restrictions to say before ordering that they have a restriction or allergy, mm-hmm, and will therefore be ordering their own meal.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're allergic to shellfish and everyone wants to split the seafood tower, yes, it's well within your right to get your own check or Venmo a friend for just your portion of the meal.
And then just tell them they're being shellfish.
It's gonna live on. She's done it twice, so she has to do a three later on. We'll see if it comes up. Everyone pay attention
to Lisa's joke structure.
Oh my God, I love you.
Okay, here we go. The person in charge of choosing the restaurant says, it's a surprise. The surprise in question ends up being extremely expensive.
We're sitting at Art Chef's table in the kitchen.
We're going to the French Laundry, and Thomas Keller has given us his
That's private basement. That's it.
I would die to have that meal.
I would
pass away. It would be my last
there
meal.
There would be so many things I couldn't eat.
Oh, no. I'm sure he does an amazing chicken. Okay. To put it plainly, this is what the article says. To put it plainly, don't be this person. It's important when planning a group meal to send around a menu or link to a restaurant ahead of time so people can decide if it's within their budget to attend.
Yeah, or if it makes sense for me to go. I don't want to go to an Argentinian steakhouse because I'm only going to be eating off that chicken skewer and the salad bar and still paying.
And you don't want to pay like $75 for all you can eat beef.
Yeah, yeah.
In this worst case scenario, ordering on separate checks is a reasonable way to assuage blindsided attendees, says Jung.
Mm-hmm.
If you're tasked with selecting the location and you want it to be a surprise because you're sneaky like that, employ a little bit of common sense and empathy and don't choose somewhere shockingly expensive.
Right.
Trust us, everyone will end up happier.
Everybody loves Burger King.
Listen. I did a good bit of research for this episode, mm-hmm, read a lot of articles, and there is an additional article called Splitting the Check is No Longer Restaurant Etiquette. In 2024, it's every diner for themselves.
Oh.
And this was written by Kieran Press Reynolds and Charissa Cheong from January 24th of this year, 2024.
I'm curious, what do they mean? It's like a American Ninja Warrior. Kind of like we all have to battle with huge Q-tips.
And you cook it at the restaurant as well.
Okay.
That's right.
Very confused.
So I'm not going to read the whole article, but I pulled some relevant points, mm-hmm, and we'll also link the full article in show notes. So this article references the huge number of posts on TikTok with the hashtag group dinner, mm-hmm, which has something like 10 million views.
Mm-hmm.
It shares a couple of viral videos outlining different group dinner scenarios and the outrage and unfairness that this has evoked online that some people feel when asked to pay for more than what they ate. The article makes the point that, especially in the current economy and inflation, et cetera, people just want to pay for what they eat.
Yeah, going out is expensive. Don't make me pay for more.
Exactly. And furthermore, and I loved this point, you aren't stingy or cheap when you simply want to pay for what you ate. Mm-hmm. It's actually the opposite, right? You're like, no, I'm paying for everything that I consumed. Mm-hmm. So the article goes on to say, Nick Leighton, who co-hosts the Etiquette Advice podcast, Were You Raised by Wolves?, which I will be now be listening to, told Business Insider, which is the publisher of the article, that it made sense that people were beginning to question the practice of splitting the bill. Mm-hmm. An invitation is not an invoice, and people are simply tired of feeling fleeced, Leighton said. But there may be more to the sudden disdain for spending beyond the amount one individually racked up at a dinner. On TikTok, videos about the rising cost of living are increasingly popular. People have shared their struggles to make ends meet despite having stable jobs. And videos about the cost of everyday groceries can attract hundreds of thousands of viewers. In response, some say on social media they want to normalize cutting down on spending rather than glorifying extravagance.
Right.
They also reference how apps like Splitwise and Venmo are changing old etiquette rules as it's easier than ever to split things precisely. Venmo, quote, changes friendships and makes them more transactional, one teacher told the New York Times in 2017, adding, it's nickel and diming everything, really.
Whoa.
In 2022, Forbes reported that Americans were relying on these apps because of economic pressures. In a survey of 1,000 Americans by Forbes Advisor and one poll, 47% of respondents said they were using payment apps to, quote, split bills in ways they normally wouldn't due to inflation. End quote. Leighton, the Etiquette podcast host, told Business Insider that it's reasonable to split the bill with buddies if everyone's orders come out to similar prices. Ultimately, at the end of a lifetime of friendship, it'll all even out. But if they don't, Leighton said, it's not outside the bounds of etiquette to ask for separate checks. If the restaurant can't do that, he added, the burden falls on the person who organized the event to handle the bill with the venue and then get reimbursed by their guests. Leighton recommended an app called Plates, which lets users determine how much someone owes based on what they ordered. In sticking to etiquette when paying for just one's own meal, it's crucial that guests repay their portion promptly. It's super rude to ever make someone chase you for money you rightly owe, Leighton told Business Insider. Those who don't pay their debts promptly should be removed from any future guest lists.
I also think the thing that's not being said here is that it's incumbent upon the organizer to pay and then get reimbursed because it is so uncomfortable being the server who is waiting for payment from a group of people and them arguing. Like, it's my job, it's my money to turn this table over.
And not only that, if your section is completely full, especially if it is like high dining, high stakes, whatever, you cannot sit at a machine running 10 different credit cards and divvying up checks. It's very, very hard.
But yeah, it is.
Well, yeah, you can't do that and not risk losing tips for service from other tables.
I guess what I'm saying is, like, these articles are doing a great job of talking about the diners and not really talking about
So this article does talk about the waiters.
You're a liar.
It mentions it, but as I said, I didn't want to read two full articles to us on
there. It didn't happen.
Okay, well, it's in show notes, but it does reference how more and more restaurants, just for ease and turning those tables and things, won't do more than two or four checks for big group dinners.
That's really being shellfish.
Oh, there it is, you guys. How'd that feel to get that off your brain?
Really good. Really good. It's been running like an old program.
The smile on her face is amazing. But yeah, this article also makes mention of how splitting the check evenly, that practice of etiquette, is distinctly American. There are some blogs who are like, oh, you can expect that if you go to a group dinner in America, you might pay for more than what you ate, which is so interesting.
Not in the Midwest.
There it is. By America, we mean coastal cities. More than anything, Communication between the hosts and guests is essential and can help thwart nightmare bill splitting mishaps like the ones described in the viral TikTok videos. If you're into planning group dinners, you can avoid becoming viral fodder, Layton said, by telling guests ahead of time whether there may be an extra cost associated with the event so they can assess their finances and decide whether to attend.
Nice.
Just don't be surprised this year if requests for separate checks come with the RSVP.
Oh, smart.
Yeah. So that is our follow-up.
I feel followed and I feel up.
I feel like we have done our best.
We are replete.
We are replete.
I feel sated. I feel full of information.
Wow.
I'm not thirsty for more. I'm not hungering for an explanation.
I'm not craving anything additional. I don't have like a dessert stomach for more information.
I feel like there's a smorgasbord of opportunities laid out in front of us.
That's right. It's almost like the first episode was the appetizer and then this was the main course.
Yeah. And you know what? We're so full, we don't need a dessert.
And I want you all to just sit with this, let it digest.
You know, and if something comes back up, let it go. Let it go.
Yeah.
Let it out.
And sometimes you got to talk it out. You got to regurgitate, you know, the info.
Yeah.
That's right. Just chew on it, stew on it,
masticulate it.
That's right. Make a big ol' mental soup. The question was really, how long could we keep it going? So
thanks, Misty.
Thank you. And to everyone who's listening to this on the way to a group dinner, on the way back.
May you be fortified with energy and tactics.
That's right. Let us know how it went. Thank you for being on this journey with us. And if you don't know this already, this is a hard pivot. But Lisa and I recorded a bonus secret episode of the podcast.
Yeah, you might say like an amuse-bouche.
Okay, she did. And we liked it, didn't we?
Thank you.
Yeah, on our website, gohelpyourself.co, totally free, you can download an episode that people have. This is probably the most common question we get is what are your favorite self-help books?
Yeah, what's your top five? What's your top 10?
Yeah, or even like, what's your top one? And to which we say, in what category? What's your top one? Probably Tech So Good He Can't Ignore by Bruce Bryan.
That's a deep cut for all you LLLs.
It is a deep cut. But listen, if you want to know what our top 10 self-help books of all time are, head to gohelpyourself.co. I need you to know Lisa is trolling me. She's doing weird things with her headphone and making weird faces. Her headphones.
Nope, just one.
Just the one. It's like a monocle, but for your ears.
Just call me Mr. Peanut.
That's right. And if you have additional thoughts on this topic, this episode, the last episode, we want to hear from you. And especially if there's anything you're doing that you're like, oh, I've hacked group dinners and they're a breeze. please slide
it's
into my DMs.
Eat by myself at the counter.
A memoir, a lifelong, it's called being alone and never seeing anyone else.
All right, Misty.
Baby.
With that.
Life is abundant.
Go Help Yourself was produced in Los Angeles by Misty Stinnett and Lisa Linke. Theme music was originally conceived and delivered by Matt Sav.
And composed.
He's a doctor. He's an OB.
Stop.
Please feel free to visit us at gohelpyourself.co. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. I hope you have sweet dreams.
Good luck at your dinner.